What is up, everybody? Welcome to, if I ever figured it out right, this show would go swimmingly well. Welcome to A Sessions with J-Cal. I'm J-Cal. This is SoCal Crazy. And let me tell you, there are many people that I've met in my time writing about professional wrestling, talking about professional wrestling, debating about professional wrestling, but there are very few people in this world of professional wrestling that I've endeared and have welcomed them into part of my family. Somebody I actually genuinely call a friend, somebody who I think the absolute world of. And my buddy SoCal Crazy right here is absolutely one of these people. What's up, SoCal Crazy? How are you doing, brother?
Hey, thank you guys so much for having me on. I'm doing good. I'm doing a lot better. You know, mentally, emotionally, physically, everything's going in the right direction. So we're very good right now, man. We're at a good Zen mode.
That's awesome. Now, for those of you, because this is a channel that we mostly talk about NWA, and it's funny because your career in Southern California has been more or less intertwined with the National Wrestling Alliance on and off for the last 20 plus years that you've been wrestling professionally. And a lot of people who might be familiar with you from your time in Championship Wrestling from Hollywood or some of the SoCal fans who've watched SoCal Pro Wrestling and have been a part of the independent scene here in Southern California very much know who you are. But for those of our viewers who aren't familiar with you, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, my SoCal Crazy, I was a youngster that fell in love with professional wrestling, Lucha Libre. I went to my first AAA show in San Diego, and I fell in love. You know, I fell in love with Perro Aguayo. I fell in love with Vampiro. I fell in love with Conan. I fell in love with all those guys back then at that time. I decided I wanted to try it. I went, I signed up literally the very next day after seeing that show. I signed up with California Championship Wrestling, which at the time was probably the biggest school in San Diego at the time. So I signed up there, and you know, that's pretty much where my pro wrestling journey began, was California Championship Wrestling, I should say. Charles Gibb, the promoter there at the time, gave me a really good opportunity. He opened the doors for me and led me into an incredible, incredible business that has changed my life forever.
And again, I've always felt like this, and I can say this as somebody who's, you know, spent so much time documenting the history of Southern California Pro Wrestling. I don't feel like the talent here in Southern California ever really got their just desserts. I mean, yeah, Super Dragon got a lot of critical acclaim, and he was able to wrestle all across the country, even wrestle in Japan. B-Boy was able to get those opportunities to wrestle in a much larger scale. And we've had some talents who have crossovered and have appeared in multiple promotions. But you're a guy that's been around here. And I never really felt like you got that opportunity that like some of the other guys got, but you were there. I mean, you went from CCW and then you were wrestling for Rev Pro, and that people might not know it. You were wrestling as SoCal Loco. Tell us about that time in your career and how you went from wrestling in San Diego to wrestling in Norwalk at the indoor swap meet.
Yeah. So that was an amazing time in my life. So unfortunately, when CCW closed, there wasn't really any other options in San Diego as far as professional wrestling schools to continue or anything like that. So I remember one night myself, Street Style, and Goalie Howell, who were also graduates of the CCW school, we kind of like, you know, we're talking about it and what our next options were. My option was immediately to go down to Tijuana and start training down there. I mean, to me, that was my big step. But they were both able to convince me to go with them and try this promotion called Rev Pro up in the LA area. I didn't know anything about the promotion at all. I didn't know that it even existed, to tell you the truth. So I remember we went up there, and I don't remember the details of how we even got booked on the show or what happened, but I do remember traveling to Norwalk, and RevPro was running at the Norwalk Indoor Swap Meet at the time, which was an amazing spot. I loved it. I really enjoyed it.
I only ever got to go to one of those Rev Pro shows. And what's ridiculous about this is I literally lived like 10 minutes away from the venue. And I didn't know, right? I didn't know. And all these great matches were happening right there in my own backyard, and I didn't know. But I was only able to ever go to one of the Rev Pro shows there. And then I think I went to one in Anaheim at the Marketplace, and then they were at AWS for a very long time. Or not AWS, but the Autograph place. You know,
Frank and Sons, right?
Frank and Sons.
Yeah.
Our mutual friend Trevor posted here in the comments. He never got his just due. SoCal Crazy has been the best man for years, and I bet you if we survey most of the talent in SoCal, I think there would be an echoed sentiment about what a good dude you are, how hard you've worked in this business. And I don't think that's just Trevor Allen saying that. I think there's a whole locker room of fellas that would say that.
Wow.
Real quick, I pulled up some photos from the first time you worked in an NWA promotion. And I don't know if you remember this, if you even knew it was an NWA promotion, but Car Consumer Pro Wrestling bought the NWA rights
Right.
like 2001, 2002, and nobody at the time was promoting the NWA out here. And this was before Dave Marquez was promoting under the NWA banner. And for those of you guys who are watching the show and are not familiar, the Car Consumer experience was to bring people to car lots to get
Yeah.
attraction to bring people in to look at the cars. And it was kind of a unique idea because they used pro wrestling as their avenue. And the wrestling that they used was basically Revolution Pro, which was one of the hottest indies in SoCal. And this is before Pro Wrestling Guerrilla really took off, before there was a Pro Wrestling Guerrilla.
Right.
And so I have a few photos of you, but they're not the best of photos, but I just wanted to take you back down memory lane a little bit. I think that's you slamming Matrix.
Right, yeah.
And this one is in Colton, and that's Goalie Hal, I think, doing a side suplex on you.
Actually, no, that's Buddy George.
Oh, Buddy George, excuse
Buddy
me.
George, yeah.
And then this one, you're over here in the corner. I'm not sure where that's. Oh, I guess it's Imperial Valley. So I guess you're out in like Coachella or something.
I
But
believe so, yeah.
that's you outside the ring. So, like, I just wanted to show you this because, as an NWA enthusiast, I like to be familiar with the product. So, when that NWA California debuted under the Car Consumer Pro promotion, I followed it religiously. Like, I never went to any of the shows because, again, I was living closer to Long Beach at the time, but like they were going out to wild places like Colton and Brawley and like, I don't think, well, not Yuma, but like Blythe, and I think a few other cities that were just way out there, like not really close to anything. Do you remember these shows?
Right, I do. I mean, vaguely remember them. There was so many years ago, and you're right. It was kind of like the kick start of the whole Marquez era, which Dave is an amazing person. I love Dave to death. But yeah, those Car Consumer Pro shows were like that was like my first time that I got to experience wrestling on the road.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I was still very new. In fact, a lot of people don't know that, but Matrix, one of the guys that I wrestled on the show, was actually my teacher at CCW.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, he was one of the main trainers there. And I remember him asking me one night if I was comfortable of having a match. And we would run, practice matches at training and whatnot. Never in my mind at the time thinking I would ever get a chance to actually wrestle with Matrix. So when that opportunity arised, I was sweating bullets. I was extremely nervous. I couldn't eat. In fact, I don't think I ate anything all day until after the match. And I was so nervous that I forgot a few things in the match, and I just remember Matrix taking me to the corner, and obviously he gave me a few receipts. And at the time, I had no idea what receipts were, you know. So I just thought it was just part of the match. So I just went ahead and let it go. But it was definitely an experience. It was a lot of fun. At that time, it's you're right. That's you know, I was able to. I didn't know at the time. I didn't know how big Revolution Pro was. You
Right.
know, I was just getting to know it. I was just getting to know all of the stars there. You know, like Disco Machine and Top Gun Taller and you know Scott Loss and all those guys. You know, Joey Ryan and you know Super Dragon and Rising Sun, whom I wish I had more time to get to know him. He was such an amazing person. The time that I got to know him and the conversations we had, it was amazing. We, you know, we clicked because we both were big fans of James O'Barr of the Crow comic book strip. And so I know he was a huge fan of it, and we talked a lot about that and stuff, but he was definitely one of the guys who's sorely missed today. And you know, I was lucky enough to gotten that opportunity to meet him there, and like all the rest of the guys who later on went on and you know formed Pro Wrestling Guerrilla and whatnot. But all those car consumer shows were amazing. Like I said, it was my very first taste of me actually traveling and wrestling and seeing exactly how this lifestyle and business is. And I fell in love. I mean, I never looked back, and I wish I had more memories of those times, because of mine, it was so long ago, and you know, so many hits to the head, you can only remember so much.
I have to ask one last question about car consumer because one of my best friends was there with you for some of those matches, and I'm talking about Shogun,
Right.
the nefarious Adair Cole. Did you have any memories of working with my pal Adair?
I you know what? I don't think we ever worked together. But I did see him work. I believe at the time he was doing something with either Super Dragon or Rising Sun and Taro. So I think all they were doing something. So I never really had the opportunity, but Adair is a good guy. I you know he was very welcoming. You know, he was very helpful when I first got to Revolution Pro. You know, he was telling me, you know, the ins and outs of the promotion and who was who at the time. So he was very helpful. And the only vague memory that I do have of a show that we did was I do remember him. He was very adamant about having a car drive him to the ring at one of the car consumer pro shows.
That sounds like a dare.
I believe he was like he was on Ron like for a while trying to get that spot. And then finally it actually happened and he came down. I don't remember the type of car, but I do remember him driving down to the ring in one of the cars. It was pretty great.
That is very much a dare, and that sounds amazing. You know, from there, of course, as when Rev Pro kind of disappeared, that kind of felt like an open card for everyone to start getting into the wrestling promoting business. And a lot of promotions were great to jump in, like AWS, where you spent a lot of time working. Of course, Jeff Dino opened up SoCal Pro down closer to home for you, and you were able to essentially. You were the figure of that company. I mean, literally, you guys shared the same name, SoCal Crazy, SoCal Pro. You were essentially like the mascot for the promotion. Tell me about how it was at that point where you were, you know, you're working AWS, you're working EWF, one of the longest standing wrestling promotions in SoCal. You're at SoCal Pro, and you really were building up your legacy at that time. Tell me about those days of when you're wrestling in SoCal.
Wow, those days were fun, man. I mean, it was an awesome time because it was, you know, I was fortunate to have a pretty full schedule of wrestling. You know, sometimes my wrestling would start Thursday night and they would go all the way to Monday or Sunday. And I mean, it was amazing. It was a time where, you know, there wasn't a lot of promotions in the SoCal area, but the promotions that were here were pumping shows like every month. you know, and they were generating new fans and lifelong fans actually. At one period of time, I believe I was carrying belts to all three promotions, which was an incredible honor. I mean, that's something that I'm never going to forget. I'll always be thankful to AWS, EWF, and SoCal Pro for opening that door. Because you know, without those promotions, obviously I wouldn't be anywhere, honestly. So I do owe them a lot. And just scheduling my time between all three of those companies at that particular time was, I thought I was hitting the big time. You know, I was like, cool, man, this is it. Like, I'm working for this company. Now I got to go this one. Now I got to go this one. And nowadays, I see these young guys that are like working here, 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 which is great. But I was like, man, where were all these options when we were, you know, back in the day?
Well, it's a whole new world now. It seems like every day there's a new promotion popping up, which I mean, I've always argued that that's great for the boys because the opportunity to work, I think, you know, in your industry, it's all about repetition. It's all about getting those reps in, and the more live action reps you get, you know, you can't really recreate some of those moments inside of a gym. It really has to be in front of a viewing audience. So, I mean, I think it's great on that hand, but I also could see the downfall for that too, because it tends to water down the product sometimes. So there's a thin line you have to walk. I mean, do you agree or do you disagree with that?
No, I agree with what you're saying. Yeah, you're totally right on that aspect. You know, to me, when you know, when I first broke in, one of the golden rules at the time was, you know, you can't go and wrestle for another promotion, especially if they're running on the same week or the same month. You know, at the time, you know, that was like a big no-no. Like, you had to just stay wherever it is you agreed to be at, you know. And now, you know, I guess back then it was cool because that's how you, I guess at the time, that's how you got established, you know, because there wasn't a lot of companies, there wasn't a lot of other options. I mean, if you had a spot, if you had a really good spot at either EWF or AWS or SoCal Pro, I mean, you wanted to cherish that and you wanted to keep that. You know, you didn't want to jeopardize that by going to another promotion and causing drama that you didn't need. But again, at the same time, you're right. You know, it's I like it that there's more options now for young kids, because the only way that you're going to get better in this business is if you wrestle people that you don't train with, you know, because I mean, you get spoiled if you keep wrestling the person that you're training with over and over again. Yeah, you might go out there and have the match of the night, but it'll spoil you. You know, if you go and you wrestle somebody that you've never met before, that's where the real test is at, because then that's going to be like, okay, we've never met before, but I know, you know, that we can both go in here and get the job done, you know. So
That was always one of the biggest things that RevPro used to kind of get crap about, is that their students were basically there. You know, everyone kind of trained at RevPro, and they didn't have that association with, you know, UPW or EWF. So they kind of had to grow inside. And it was when the cream started rising to the top in RevPro that they started going to places like XPW, and they're like, oh, well, they only have good matches with guys that are on their roster. But then, I mean, that obviously started to change too as the more opportunities came around.
And then it's cool. I mean, now I prefer the scene how it is now than it was than you know back then, although I cherish my time back then. But the scene now is incredibly hot, and I believe the young talent that we have nowadays are they're really, you know, they're going up to the part, you know, to compete with the national level. You know, but as far as the independent scene is, the nationally, I believe we, you know, we Southern California has made an even bigger mark than it already had.
It was kind of around this time that the second incarnation of the NWA came to Southern California, when Dave Marquez became a member of record for the National Wrestling Alliance and kind of deputized the EWF, AWS, SoCal Pro, almost everywhere you were working. as you know, NWA affiliated promotions. And then it was shortly after that, you know, they did that big 3-day tour where they were in Oceanside, they were in Yuma, Arizona, and they were in San Bernardino for with EWF, SoCal Pro. Right. And it was during that weekend you got the team with Blue Demon Jr., who is the NWA World's Champion up until that point. How was that experience working with Blue Demon Jr.? How was that experience being a part of that traveling show that that was kind of a big deal for the NWA at the time?
Yeah, that was a very cool experience for me. I actually I had met Blue Demon Jr. Prior to that event, so we weren't strangers to each other. I mean, we weren't best friends either, obviously, but
yeah,
but we weren't strangers. So I do remember when we got to the venue, which ended up being a baseball field. Yeah. They put us all in this big room, and I'm talking to Blue Demon, and you know, we're trying to discuss what we're going to do and whatnot, and he's giving me pointers. You know, I mean, the best thing you could do is just listen to what Blue Demon has to say, because I mean, that man is an incredible treasure to professional wrestling, period.
Yeah.
So I mean, just sitting there and have him talk to me and calling me by my real name, I was like, oh my God, this is amazing.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so but it was cool. I mean, the match we went out there, I believe it was a tag match. It was myself and Blue Demon Jr. up against Gallo and Mascara Sagrada, I believe.
Yes.
And I do remember that match. The only reason I remember it is because at one point Mascara Sagrada got so upset. I don't remember what he got upset about, but he was upset about something that he literally tore my gear.
I remember that.
Yeah, he tore my gear. I think I have a zipper that goes in by my chest.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think what he was trying to do was he was trying to unzip my one piece and give me the chop deal, but he couldn't get it. And I think that's what pissed him off. So he just said, screw it, and he just ripped it. And I just remember like the chops were hurting, but my main focus was like, oh my God, my gear just ripped.
Oh, you know, man.
So I was like, oh no. like a wardrobe malfunction.
Now, did you get hot after that? Like, did you want to like throw down with like a Lucha Libre legend, or were you just like, well, that's just how it goes, man?
You know what? I mean, I'm not gonna lie to you, and I was a little upset. I was upset. I do remember looking at Demon, and I just remember him like he put his head to his mask and did one of these deals, or he just shook his head. So I was like, I don't know if that's the green light to go ahead and go on this dude, or should I just tag out? So I think I just ended up tagging out. But yeah, I mean, I was hot, you know, I was like really upset. And the whole match, I was just thinking like, man, like I got to give him a receipt. Like I have to give him a receipt, you know, like if I don't give him a receipt, I'm going to get called out on it.
Yeah. Right.
I don't think I did anything. I don't remember, honestly. I'm sure somebody's got the match floating around somewhere, but I don't recall. I do recall though, after the match, I went to the back and I believe I ran into Dave Marquez, and I told him, I was like, yeah, you know what, Dave, he ripped my deal, and I think Dave told me, well, you should have busted his ass. So something around that line. Maybe those weren't his exact words, but something around that. And I just looked at him. I was like, okay, I guess that was the green light, you know. But it's cool. It was a cool experience. I mean, unfortunately, that happened. But it was. I wouldn't change it. I wouldn't change it.
Okay, so I just have to ask, because now my mind is going a mile a minute. How many heroes did you get to step in the ring with? How many like lucha icons did you get to share the ring in your time?
Oh man, geez, I don't know. I this is something that I wish I would have written down and kept track, honestly. But at the time, you know, when you're approached with these great opportunities to wrestle these awesome legends that you've grown up watching, you know, you just jump at it. You don't really think, oh man, let me get my notebook and write this down.
Yeah, that's fair.
So you just jump at the opportunity, but. You know, I can honestly say, I mean, I've had the privilege and honor to be in the ring with Atlantis, Ultimo Guerrero, obviously Rey Mysterio, Chavo Guerrero, Mr. Tempest, who's huge in the Ensenada, Texas area deal. Máscara Sagrada, Blue Demon Jr., Juventud Guerrera, I'm sure there's more. I just unfortunately I can't remember. All those have been an amazing opportunity. Just to step in the ring with them, and the only one that I kind of wish I would have gotten the honor of being in the ring with that never truly happened was Phoenix. We were scheduled for a match with SoCal Pro, and I don't know exactly what happened or what the deal was, but unfortunately, that match never came to be.
That sucks. I'm as I'm sitting there, we're talking, and I was just trying to look up some more of the Lucha names. I did not know that you were able to get a few matches in Japan. Tell me about that experience, man. I didn't know you were.
Right. Yeah, so I was able to go to Japan, and I hooked up with my friend Dragon Yuki, who wrestles a lot in Mexico, and we did a few shows together for EWF, and I believe he did a few shows for SoCal Pro, and so we always kept in contact. And so when I was out there, I actually got in contact with him, and I was just wondering. I was like, hey, is there any shows going on during that time that I'll be there? And he was able to hook me up with a few shows out there, which was an amazing experience. I got to wrestle one guy by the name of Uma for Pro Wrestling Kajeki, which was it was a huge honor. Just to experience that aspect of the wrestling crowd, the Japanese wrestling fans and their culture and the way that they do stuff there was an amazing experience. Pro Wrestling Kajeki, I thank them, and I'll always thank them for opening the doors for me. They virtually had no idea who I was. They had no idea who SoCal Crazy was or anything like that. They took a chance. I went out there, I delivered, and the crowd was good. And I got a lot of positive feedback. So that was an awesome experience with them. And then I was also able to wrestle for, I believe it was a sub company that is associated with DDT Pro. Yeah. So I got to wrestle, I believe the guy or the wrestler I worked was something Andros.
I got it right
something.
Here. Space Galaxy Warrior Andros.
There you go. Yeah.
Great name.
Yeah. So his whole deal was he was like an outer space luchador gimmick deal, which was great. I mean, he played the part perfectly. So when he came up to me and introduced himself and we started, talking or try to put something together, he tried to talk to me in Spanish. So it was great because we were able to put together a match in Spanish. That's like he really wanted to be like, hey, I really want to do a lucha match. Can we plan it in Spanish? I've been practicing. I was like, dude, let's do it. And obviously, there was a few hiccups in the translation, but we pretty much got it down to what he wanted to do and what made sense for that audience.
That's freaking amazing, man.
Yeah, that was an awesome experience, and then just to experience that, was amazing because I was like. Here I thought I was like, dude, what am I going to do? Like, how am I going to tell them what I want to do? And obviously I had a translator with me. They provided a translator and Yuki was there. So he would help me out too. But, when that gentleman came up to me and told me that, I was like, all right, let me push everybody aside and let's just me and this guy do it. And then, we were able to put a match together.
That's pretty cool, man. So again, the legacy of SoCal Crazy just grows. I didn't even know this, man, and I would like to think that I'm a guy that's followed your career pretty closely, and I never even knew you were in Japan. So that's awesome, man.
One of the cool things was that, man, was I was able to I had that opportunity to go and represent our area out there, and I said I got a lot of good feedback, so I hope I did a good job in representing us.
And kind of bouncing back a little bit though, because I was trying to work the NWA into this. I know that at that time when Dave Marquez, the first NWA Pro Wrestling Showcase, which was on Colors, you kind of made your debut there, working so, mostly just like enhancement matches, but it was on TV. How was that for you? And was that a learning curve for you to, you know, all this time working on the independents and doing live event shows, but now being on television?
Yeah. You know, it was cool. It definitely was a learning experience. You know, I think everything you do in wrestling is a learning experience until you say, okay, no more. But that time was probably one of the biggest productions that I was a part of. You know, especially I saw how hard Dave was working and his crew, and how hard they were you know, putting these shows together. And I was just very honored and lucky that I was able to be a part of the cast. Prior to this, though, I had been doing lucha shows. And I don't know if a lot of people know this, but lucha promoters, whom I love to death, but they love to bring the lucha shows, like they love to glorify their shows, you know. They'll try to make it seem like a television production atmosphere all the time, you know. So I was kind of used to that visualization when I got there. What I learned was, you know, like putting a match together, but putting a match together with directions. Like you have to do this, or this has to happen, or you only have enough time to do this. So that's what I learned. I learned how to become a television wrestler. I guess it would be the best term to say it. So that was a learning experience that I learned from Dave and his crew.
Trevor wanted me to ask you about the name, and I'm not going to say it right. Sidereal.
Right. So that was I had a conversation with Dave, and I believe it was Dave.
It's probably Dave.
And he was like, you know what, we got to do something about your name. You know, the SoCal Crazy name is too regional, you know, like, and at the time I understood where he was coming from, because he was trying to bring in, you know, the NWA, he was trying to get the national audience. So I totally understood. And he was like, maybe, you know, come up with another name. And I think at the time the idea was for me to come up with another lucha gimmick, and he wanted me to be the third member of Los Luchas. I think that was the original idea that he had. And so I remember watching some of Los Luchas matches and their wardrobe and all that, and I was like, okay, well, how can I come into this awesome tag team but not look like I'm going to mooch off of them, but add something to them,
right?
You know. And so I was brainstorming, and I remember I would ask Thrash and Matt Twisted and all these guys that were in San Diego with me, and we just couldn't come up with anything. So I don't know exactly where the Sidereal name came from. I do remember watching. I was watching something with my mom, and she's big into the Mexican soap operas. So I'm assuming maybe that's where I got the idea. I don't know, honestly. I couldn't tell you guys. But the next option, now that I had that name, was, okay, so what am I going to do look-wise? You know, everybody's so familiar with the SoCal Crazy mask and in my color pattern. What should I do? And at the time, I think I had only primarily used the color blue or black. Yeah. So I didn't really experiment with any other colors. And so I got to the idea. I was like, okay, well, let's do black, red, and white, kind of pairing with what Los Luchas was catering to at the time. And so I, you know, went to the gear guy. He made the gear, blah, 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 blah. Long story short, I go out as Sidereal for my first match. I do my first couple of moves, and all I remember is people were like, SoCal Crazy. SoCal Crazy. And I was like, okay, this totally backfired. This is not going to work. And so I remember, I think it might have been Dave, or it might have been I don't know. I don't remember. It might have been somebody, and I was like, you know what, dude, this isn't gonna work. I think I'm gonna go back to the SoCal Crazy, and I'll just see where that takes me. And they agreed, and we ended up scrapping Sidereal and just went on with SoCal Crazy. But I still have the Sidereal gear, which every now and then I'll pull it out just to look at it. I'll never wear it. So it's sitting there. It's sitting there.
Well, I that first of all, thanks, Trevor, for asking that, because that was great. Secondly, I do remember being there at the Columbia Square Studio, and the crowd was chanting SoCal Crazy. I may have been chanting with them, so I apologize if I caused you to strike.
Yeah, no, it's okay. You know what, though, it's so hard because, like, I wanted to do something different,
Yeah.
but like my first go-to was like, okay, just stick to what you know. You know? So it was just, I don't know. I think it was a blessing in disguise, honestly.
Well, and it was shortly after those Columbia Square Studios where a lot of the NWA title was traveling. Pierce was World's Heavyweight Champion. He was coming down to San Diego. He would be in the ring with you, with Lakura, with Jason Redondo. So I mean, that title was well represented in Southern California, in San Diego, and you even got to challenge for the 10 pounds of gold. How was that experience? And I mean, people who are watching wrestling today see Adam Pearce as the voice, the authority, if you will, of the WWE. But he was a very brash, young world's heavyweight champion that was headstrong. How was it working with him? And what were your thoughts and opinions of getting that opportunity to wrestle for that same title that Ric Flair, Sting, and a whole list of guys held before Adam?
Oh man, it was an honor. When Jeff came up to me and told me, hey, I'm gonna have you with Adam, immediately I was like, oh my God, okay, I gotta be on my game. Like I gotta be on point. Because Adam, yeah, at the time, Adam was an incredible force in professional wrestling, period. Like Adam was just on top of the world, and he still is. The success that he has now is because of his hard work. And that's one thing that I learned from challenging Adam for the NWA title was that work ethic. He that rubbed off on me, and it was an experience that I'll never forget. Just to be in to just I mean just my name being in the same sentence with the NWA World Heavyweight title is just like amazing. It's just something that I never dreamed about, honestly. But one thing that I did learn from Adam was the he put me to the test that night. Like as far as where I'm at, where I was at the time in professional wrestling. And what I mean by that is he put me to the test as far as being a ring general and all the ring dynamics that goes into putting a match on. At the time I was young and naive, and I just wanted to do cool stuff. And he was able to teach me the right, I guess I could say the right mentality for a match like that. And I owe him a lot. I owe him a lot. That those I believe we had maybe two or three matches. But all the time that I had in the ring with Adam was definitely a learning experience and something that I've kept with me, till now.
Yeah, just as I'm looking right now, you guys had two one-on-one matches, both at Oceanside. Then you guys had a tag team match where you teamed with Baby Slim against him and Jason Redondo. And then you guys actually shared the ring a couple other times there in Oceanside with the SoCal Rumble, and then teaming against the Mirror Image Megastars and those matches, which were just all out war. And a lot of fun too. It's just, I remember, I think you remember me being in the audience for a lot of those SoCal Pro shows back in 2012 and getting to see, you challenge for that title and that Oceanside crowd being so behind you. It's like Adam Pearce is a San Diego resident, but everyone's
Yeah.
going to forget that because you were right there and that Oceanside crowd just was completely enamored with you. And that was kind of a cool moment to see you have those opportunities. Of course, the title always kept stayed with Adam, but those matches I think were pretty awesome for not just for your experience, but also for the fans at Oceanside.
Yeah, one thing that I haven't really told anybody this, but one thing that happened to me that night when I believe it was the first time that I wrestled Adam for the NWA title. We were doing the match and whatnot, and I do remember one time I think he threw me out to the outside, and I happened to notice that my cousin was sitting in the front row. One of my cousins was sitting in the front row. Now, this particular cousin of mine, he's always been a wrestling fan, but I guess like a closet wrestling fan. He didn't really like to admit that he liked wrestling. Why? I don't know. That's whatever his reasons were. But I do remember him sitting in the crowd, and we made eye contact, and that I don't know, that just like put like lighted a fire in me that because out of everybody in the audience, that was the last face that I would ever imagine seeing, especially at that time. So I was like, I was just starstruck that I saw my cousin in the front row, and I went back in the ring, and I believe even Adam was like, mentioned to me like, okay, hey, that second half, you brought it, man. But it was because of my cousin. And I was like, okay, now that I know somebody personally in the crowd, I can't screw up. I got to bring my A game again,
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's something that I've never really shared with anybody. And actually, the cool thing is, later on that night, is I got in touch with that particular cousin, and I asked him. I was like, "Hey, you should have let me know you were coming. I would have taken you to the back, and you could have managed me, Yeah. And he was like, "Yeah, no, I didn't want to make it a big deal. I've always been a fan of the NWA and the title, and when I heard that you were going to wrestle for it, I had to be here." So it was an amazing, amazing experience.
That's dope. That's so cool. As we continue with your time in the NWA, now this is the third era of the NWA in California, when Vendetta Pro became the NWA member of record after the new ownership took over. Bruce Starp was able to secure the rights to the NWA, thus invalidating David Marquez's claim for the NWA in California. And Billy was able to, the other Billy, was able to get the NWA ownership in Bakersfield, which is still technically Southern California. And so here you are, the third time's a charm. You're working for the NWA again, this time in Bakersfield, where you would hold the Vendetta Pro Championship. Even before that, you were the Triforce Champion, and you were very much a part of what they were doing out there as part of the NWA, and even when they were no longer associated with the NWA. Tell me about your times working in Vendetta Pro and working in those matches out there.
Yeah, those were awesome matches. Those were a monthly trip, a monthly three and a half hour drive to Santa Maria every month for Billy. But, it was an experience that I'll never forget, and I loved it. Billy has always and always will be a dear friend of mine. He's always treated me with a lot of respect, a lot of love, opened a lot of doors for me as well. So I'll always be in debt to Billy. Vendetta was another promotion at the time that I had a lot of nice memories with. I was able to step into the ring there with a lot of cool guys. I had a really good feud with Little Cholo for the Triforce title.
Yeah.
I did, I had an awesome triple threat match with Brian Cage and Daivari. I had a really cool match with, I believe, at a little Rey Mysterio, one of the Mysterio kids. So it was fun. Yeah, the whole Vendetta experience was fun. I met a lot of guys that were up from the northern part of California. That Billy would use, and they would come down. So I think that wrestling for Billy, or Billy's version of the NWA at the time, there, opened up a lot of friendship doors for me with a lot of the NorCal talent.
And the Rey Mysterio you were working with was El Hijo de Rey Mysterio, also known as Rey Oras, who I think he was spent some time in Ring of Honor recently. So You got one of the good ones. I actually got to see him. I was at Crash about this time last year. I went to one of the Lucha Libre shows out there and saw him with Bestia, Seis, and Mecha Wolf, and I just thought those guys were incredible. So yeah, I mean, again, adding to the legacy that is SoCal Crazy, you really have worked with quite a great number of talents, both in the Lucha Libre sense and in the pro wrestling sense. I mean, I was looking, you wrestled with Brian Cage. You've been in the ring with Adam Pearce, Joey Ryan, Scorpio Sky. In fact, I meant to bring that up earlier, but you know, when Dave Marquez did leave the NWA and they were reintroducing a championship for that championship wrestling from Hollywood, they had that whole tournament be the star, and the finals came down to you and Scorpio Sky, which I think means a lot about how you were perceived and respected by that locker room and by that the management at Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, because obviously Scorpio Sky was a guy that they looked at as having that presence and being one of their top guys, but you were right across the ring from him, and that match, that tournament was again carried the whole program from from the days of having the 10 pounds of gold to now having this new championship from the Regent Showcase Theater to the Port Hueneme in the Ocean View Pavilion. That led up to you and Scorpio Sky in Port Hueneme, and you guys actually wrestling. Can you tell me about the pressures of having that focus, that television title, which was at that point the main title for the promotion? How was that for you and being able to compete for that? You had a nice consolation prize. You got to hold my daughter, and you're the only wrestler. And I think that Sky next to you, I think I could be wrong, but you're the only wrestler to ever hold one of my children. And that was, she was, oh gosh, she's 9. She turned 9 in March, and I believe this was in the summer. So she was probably about 4 or 5 months old right there. And you got to hold my little baby girl, Claire. And we show her that picture all the time and say, hey, because she doesn't watch wrestling, but she likes to, she wants to watch wrestling, but she doesn't. And I go, yeah, you were held by a wrestler before. You're held by one of my favorite luchadors. And she goes, really? Who? And I show her your picture, and I showed her that, you know, that you were holding her, and she pops for that because, you know, you didn't get to hold the other two. But but she's like, wow. So at least you had that consolation prize.
You know, one of the cool things being lucky enough to be a professional wrestler, luchador is with the crowd, you know, like when you get to see the crowd like grow up, you know, like as you progress through year after year after year after year. I mean, the audience comes and goes, but there's those certain people that are always there and they're always with you and they become family, and that's what you guys were, you know, and to this day you are. You know, I was very honored and privileged that you gave me that opportunity. You know, for me as a luchador, you know, I one of my favorite things to do is perform for children. You know, like there are target audience, you know.
Yeah.
So it was amazing. It was amazing. I always loved watching you guys and seeing you guys at the stand at SoCal Pro. Like, honestly, I knew that if you guys were there in the audience, the show was going to be good.
Oh, thank you. It was really cool for me because I didn't go to a lot of EWF shows, but if I was there, you were there. If I was going to an AWS show, you were most likely there. If I went to a SoCal Pro show, you were definitely there. And you had so many matches at Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, both before that, the Be the Star tournament and after. So I really felt privileged to see you have these opportunities and watch your career. I mean, we're talking even like I think it was last year, right? Last year in Hemet, I got to see you wrestle for the last time, you know, just a year ago. And it was really cool to see you and Brian Gatson and be a part of the West Coast Wrestling Club, West Coast Wrestling Company, and get to see you guys there. And it was really awesome. And I know that shortly after that match, I guess that's when the diagnosis happened. You know, well, if people don't know, you were diagnosed with colon cancer. And I know that I believe they caught it early. At least I think they did. Because obviously you're here and you fought such a horrible disease, a horrible ailment to have, and you beat it back. Tell me about that process, because I know that's not easy. That C word is so scary for so many people. And, you know, a lot of people don't survive when they have cancer.
Yeah, it was definitely an eye-opening experience for sure. Actually, that photo, I think, the photo with Gatson that you just had up, I believe that was actually the very last time that I wrestled before I got diagnosed. So that whole thing came about because I had received the third COVID shot and I wasn't feeling too well after the shot. So I ended up going to the doctor and I let them know, hey, you know, I got the shot, not feeling too well. Could you guys check me out? And so they ended up checking me out and they told me, you know what, you're okay. They gave me medication, sent me home. So I went home. A few hours later, I started feeling really nauseous and I started throwing up. And so I was like, okay, this isn't normal. Let me go back to the hospital. So this time I went to an urgent care. And then there the nurse was like, okay, well, let us give you a CAT scan. Maybe it's something you ate or maybe it is the effects of the COVID shot. Like, cool. Gave me the COVID shot. They gave me the CAT scan. And about 15 minutes later, she walks in and the nurse walks into the room and she's like, Mr. Bustos, my last name, you need to go to the hospital right away. And right there, I was like, oh no. I was like, okay, what's wrong? She's like, I can't tell you for sure. I can't tell for sure, but it looks like you might have some blockage in your colon. But I can't tell for sure. You need to go to the hospital so they can give you a better CAT scan and then let you know from there. I was like, okay, no problem. So I immediately drove to the hospital The closest one that I was at was the one in Irvine. So I went out there. They did the whole CAT scan, and they put me in a room. And about 40 minutes later, the doctor walks in, and he was like, "Well, Mr. Bustos, I don't know how to tell you this." And I was like, "Okay, what's, just tell me." He's like, "You have stage 4 colon cancer.
Oh shit.
But we need to take you to the emergency room and cut you open like right now." And like that's the last thing that I obviously expected to hear. I was just like, as soon as I heard that, the first thing that that popped into my head was, the faces of my friends, like Jeff, Trevor, Andy, Matt Twisted, Maldecito, like all of those guys, all their faces came to my head immediately. Because the first thing I thought of was like, man, I'm never going to see these guys again. Like, this is it for me, but luckily, yes, I was saved, and they caught everything. They That night I was in surgery. It was about a 2.5 hour surgery. They got all the cancer out. Then about a week later, I started chemotherapy, and I ended up doing chemotherapy for about maybe 8 to 9 months or so, maybe 8 months. And chemotherapy worked, and right now, as I sit here talking to everybody, I am in remission. I do have another CAT scan scheduled for October, so technically that will let me know where my future is going to go, honestly.
So that's pretty heavy, and I knew you had cancer. I didn't know it was stage 4, and I know like the survival rate gets a lot worse when you get to that point. So like I'm happy you're here first and foremost. I'm very happy that we're talking.
It was they I guess it had already spread to a little some parts to my liver, but chemotherapy was, I was lucky enough that it took care of it. So I got extremely lucky.
Well, I'm extremely happy to hear about that. How was that process? I mean, I know, like physically and mentally, it's not just the chemo, like what it does to your body, what it does to your attitude, your mentality, not just your body, but your soul. What got you through the hard times? How did you get through to the other side? Because you've been very positive. Your social media posts have been, PMA all day, and I love that. But like, you went through hell, man, and it's I'm proud of the man you are, and I think you already know that. But for you to come out on the other side and with such a grateful heart and being so positive about things, how did you do that?
I don't know. I mean, I just saw a lot of negativity, honestly. When I was in the hospital, I was at, I guess the best way to describe it was I was at the cancer wing of the hospital. And just like, the crying and the screams and just the atmosphere that I was with was just so negative, and it was just people going through pain and doctors working tremendously to try to get these people to feel better, including myself. So it was just a lot of like a lot of dark negative vibes that were around me at the time, So I thought to myself, I was like, well, I mean, okay, I have cancer. I'm here in bed. The only thing I could do is wait it out and fight it. What am I going to do? Just feel sorry for myself and just sit here and just let time go by. So I decided to kind of turn things around and just try to be as upbeat as I could possibly be. Did I go through a lot of pain? I went through tremendous pain. I went through a lot of complications. At one point, I got a really bad infection in my stomach, so I had to carry an ileostomy bag for about 6 months. Which, for those who do not know, it's basically what they did is they cut your intestine in half, and half of your intestine is kind of bulging out of the side of your stomach, and it drains into a bag. It's not very pleasant to look at. It's not very pleasant to have or experience. The pain is tremendous, but it did save my life. It did save my life. So it's a pain that I don't wish on anybody. but I'm glad it happened to me because it was part of my recovery. It wasn't an experience that I would love to repeat, obviously, but
Sure.
I'm glad that I did experience that. So at least I can tell people, you know what, man, get checked out. You know, it's a lot scarier to not know than to know, you know?
Right.
And so, yeah, the pain was just, it's just pain that I would not wish on my worst enemy. It's just, you know, it's daily pain, daily medication, daily chemotherapy, daily nausea, throwing up constantly, dizziness, vertigo. It's just all rolled up into one happy party.
I know that if you have it your way and with a clean bill of health in October, the plan is to return to the ring, I believe, sometime in 2023.
Correct. Yeah. So, you know, one of the first things that my doctor, I owe my life to. Funny thing about my doctor was when he told me that I was cancer free and he sat me down in his office and all that, you know, me as a wrestler, the first thing that came into my head was wrestling. So yeah. I was like, dude, this man just saved your life. What can you possibly, like, how can you thank him? Like, how? So the first thing that popped into my head is, cool, I'll give him a SoCal Crazy t-shirt.
It's awesome.
You know? So I had no else. I had no idea how to thank this man, you know?
Right.
And so I gave him the t-shirt. And I remember, my doctor's old school. So he looked at it and he was like, is this you? I was like, well, technically not me, but kind of is. He goes, you're SoCal Crazy. He's like, yeah. Oh, I like this. I like this very much. Thank you. And then he was like, what else do you have? I was like, oh, well, just a t-shirt right now. But if I get more merchandise, I'll let you know. I'll give you merchandise for sure. He goes, yeah, I've never treated a professional wrestler. You're my first one. This is very cool. So he was just like all for it, you know.
That is amazing.
Yeah, yeah. So it was great, but just the whole you know, oh man, I don't know, the whole cancer experience is just it's something that I really don't wish on anybody, you know.
Right.
And that's one of the reasons why I'm putting this together, this event together, just so I can get that out.
Hermanos contra cancer, right?
Right.
Did I have it? Was I close?
No, yeah, that's good. Hermanos contra cancer. Yeah. So yeah, this event, it goes back to me, you know, sitting in my hospital bed and trying not to go crazy, you know. So I just remember I was thinking to myself, I'm like, okay. And at the time, I was dealing with the idea that I might never wrestle again, you know. So the best thing to do if you're never going to wrestle again, but you're not ready to leave that business yet, is, okay, it's time to become a promoter.
Right.
So in my head, I was thinking, okay, I don't think I'm going to promote, but if I did, who would I want? Like, what would I want to see? And so I just started dotting a bunch of matches and names and stuff. And that eventually led to me brainstorming the idea of running this Hermanos Contra Cancer show. And it's not essentially a benefit show as it is more of an awareness show. It's I'm using Lucha Libre and professional wrestling as the only platform that I've known for so many years to deliver this message to not only my you know, my family and my community, but essentially to my coworkers in the wrestling business. You know, you know, a lot of us are so naive and we get hurt or we get bumped or we get bruised and we just shrug it off and we continue and we go on to the next man. And I was like that for so many years. I was like that for a lot of years, you know, and unfortunately, that's not the way to go about it. You know, if you feel something, if something's hurting you, if you don't feel right, go get checked. Go get checked. You know, the scary thing is that, you know, you might not know what it is. It could be something small or it could be something big, but at least you know and you can prepare for it. And that's the whole idea and the whole concept behind this show that I'm doing. You know, I was lucky enough to make some really good friends in my years in wrestling, and a lot of these guys are willing to come out and help me out in this event. I know a lot of guys that are on the event are either being affected by cancer in some way now, or they have a family member, or they know somebody that's going through this. And so my target for that night, not only to bring a cool wrestling show with some of my best friends, but at the same time, bring awareness to not just the colon cancer, but just to cancer in general.
I would like, you know, I didn't talk to you about this beforehand. I mean, I kind of mentioned something to you, but in 2018, I lost a friend who was very close to me, who had pancreatic cancer, and he fought it for a whole year and didn't survive. So I would like to make a donation in his name to the show, to the benefit, to for tickets, to whatever I can do. And we'll discuss offline, but I'd like to honor my friend who I lost on this benefit, this event, to create awareness for all kinds of cancer. So I hope you allow me to do that, and we'll talk offline. But it's a horrible, and I watched a young man lose his battle who had a wife. You know, I know I'm not a spring chicken anymore, but I still feel like 38 or 39 is far too young to go. And, you know, such a beautiful spirit, a beautiful person, much like yourself. And I'm so grateful that you're still here, but we've lost so many people. And I, just like you said, if it was just going to the doctor and having that routine checkup and being a little bit more proactive, maybe he would still be here. So I would like to make a contribution to the show in his name, if that would be okay with you.
I'd definitely be honored to have that. Thank you so much. And yeah, it's you know, it's unfortunately cancer is a scary word. Nobody wants to hear that, you know, literally, but it's something that we live with and something that we're going to live with. So we might as well stand up to it and try to get as much information about it as we can and be knowledgeable about it. You know, this event also, you know, that was, now that you brought that up, is I also would like to use this event as a tribute show to those who have passed away from this, you know, from cancer. I'm planning to have a couple of boards set up that night with different color ribbons. So you can go ahead, and if you wanna share, it's all up to you. Obviously, you can write the name of the person who's affected or that you've lost, and put it on the board. And during intermission, we're going to celebrate those lives, and you know, we want to make sure that those lives aren't forgotten. You know, because again, you know, obviously, cancer is something that it's scary, but we have to deal with, unfortunately.
That's beautiful, man. I think that's a very fitting tribute to those we've lost, as well as to help create awareness. I think it's great. And like you said, you're using the vehicle that you know. You know, you shouldn't be the one out there promoting a rock concert to, you know, create awareness. You're using pro wrestling, which you've been, you know, perfecting that craft for some 20 plus years now. So I celebrate that with you. I know that it's going to be November 12th.
Correct.
And it's going to be, do you have a venue yet for that? Or are you still working on the venue?
I actually do have a venue. So it's going to be November 12th at a place called The Barn, which is actually a mental health recovery center. Okay. They were really willing to work with us for this cause. And, when I ran across this venue, I, you know, I had my reservations at first, but I saw what their motto is and what they're trying to accomplish with helping people get mentally fit, you know, or, you know, whatever issue is bothering them, they're there to help. And so that was really like, to me, that felt like this is it. Like, you know, they're trying to help people. I'm trying to help people. I don't see how this is not going to work.
I mean, that's awesome. It sounds like everything's kind of falling into place. And if people aren't able to watch, or if they're not able to be there live, are you going to be able to have some sort of way that they can watch maybe via YouTube or maybe like a pay-per-view or one of the services like Title Match Network or something like that?
Yeah, yeah. We're going to try to go ahead we're going to try to stream it on YouTube. I'm still working on the details with that. I'm new to this whole promoting side. This is my one and this is my one and only.
Right, right.
So I'm still learning as I go, you know. It's pretty cool, but it's a little nerve wracking because all the responsibility falls on you now. So I'm still going. I'm still learning. I do want to stream this. So if anybody out there has any ideas or any suggestions, you can go ahead and DM me on IG and you know, shoot them my way. Again, I'm learning as I go. So that's one of the goals, though, is if you can't make it, I am going to work on somehow streaming it.
That's awesome. I did want to, I think it's great what you're planning to do. I think all of this is positive stuff. I did want to ask two more wrestling questions. And I do thank you so much for being so generous with your time today. Trevor, our buddy Trevor had a great question. He said, who is a young guy in SoCal today that SoCal Crazy is excited about? Is there somebody out there right now that you're like, yeah, that guy's got it?
Wow. There's not one particular, you know, I've been honored to have been a part of a lot of these young guys, you know, they're beginning training.
You can spend as much time as you want name dropping. I don't mind.
I think right now, obviously, I'm very proud of where Jordan Cruz is at.
Oh yeah,
you know I remember him when he first was starting out. I'm very very proud of where Danny Limelight is at. You know, extremely proud of where Hunter Freeman is going. You know, with his new. Discovery of hardcore wrestling. So I hope that pans out well for him, but I'm very proud of him regardless, you know, very proud of Julius and what he's done and what he's accomplished.
Oh, yeah.
So there's just so many guys, you know, that that I really admire. You know, I admire Barbie Boy a lot, you know, both Brandon and Danny Devine up in Millennium Pro. I'm glad that Danny's back from his injury and he's kicking butt again. So I don't really have one particular. I'm honestly excited for how the scene is right now. I'm just really bummed out that I'm on the sideline and I can't participate.
I did talk to Danny Limelight. In fact, when you know, you send me gente and he also says that. And although, you know, I he's never held any of my kids, I do think of him as a friend and somebody I care about. I know there was quite a bit of controversy when he left SoCal Pro, and I know that would put you in kind of an awkward position because of your relationship with Jeff Dino. Plus, like I believe you were even working with Danny up in the Vendetta, or maybe it wasn't Vendetta, but some of the promotions outside of the, you know, major Los Angeles area. When you see his success now, obviously he had a short stint with AEW. He had a short stint with MLW. He's one of the hottest commodities in championship wrestling from Hollywood, your old stomping grounds. What does that mean for you when you see a talent like him?
Oh man, it makes me think that we did something right. You know, as far as like where he's at in the wrestling business, and where he's going and what he's done. I'm not going to take all the credit because he's a hard worker and
sure,
he deserves the credit himself. You know, I just showed him the basics and opened I'd like to hope I opened at least some doors for him. But you know, I'm extremely proud of where he's at and what a hot item he's become. And you know, he's always been talented. He's always been very talented, very athletic. So I'm really glad for the position that he finds himself in right now. And I really hope that he somehow makes it into one of the big companies.
Not for nothing, but when he came on here the first time, he had nothing but positive things to say about you, and his respect for you was, I think, the appropriate amount of respect. I think he was really he put you over very much. So I was happy to hear it. And it kind of made me like him even more because I felt like he was, you know, respecting the person that kind of helped guide a lot of his early career. So
yeah, I think one of the cool things is like one of the cool things that I like to go by is like it doesn't matter what promotion a certain guy works for. I mean, you could become friends. There's no law that says you can't be friends because he worked here or you work there or whatever, you know. And so I've always kept that mentality since day one, you know, like. Even when I learned back then when I was first breaking in about it wasn't so much the territories, but everybody had that territory kind of mind frame at the time.
Yeah, that mentality.
Yeah. So even that, though, back then I was like, no, screw it. You know, I'm going to go talk to this dude or this guy, you know, whatever. And that's how I was lucky enough to become, you know, make a lot of good friends and have a lot of lifelong friends that I have now, you know. That's what I think about, like with Danny and Hunter and Jordan and Julius and them. I mean, yeah, I was there when they broke in, but now I don't really consider them as like students. I consider them more like friends and coworkers, and you know, they've earned that respect. They're at that level now where they're no longer trainees. They're pro wrestlers, and just to see that. You know, to see from where they were at, to see that, it's just like mind blowing, you know, because it's like, cool, okay, I was able to bring what Matrix taught me, and now I was able to pass it on to them. So that's awesome.
Well, there's definitely like the expression, I believe, is like the learning tree, right? So right. You sat under the Matrix learning tree, and the skills that you learned, you've passed down to all these, you know, a lot of the talents that were SoCal Pro and have gone on to do other things. So, I mean, at the very least, you don't have to acknowledge that or you don't have to say, hey, you know, I trained you, but they sat under your learning tree and your influence in Southern California in the world of professional wrestling continues to grow. When you see guys again, like Jordan Cruz, who's the championship wrestling from Hollywood television champion, United Wrestling Network TV champion. When you look at Danny Limelight, who's held tag team titles in the United Wrestling Network and MLW. And like you said, a lot of those guys who've just really stepped their game up and really look like they're on to the next big thing and have all this potential. So, I mean, at the very least, you could say, yes, these folks sat under my learning tree. And I think that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I was lucky enough to have them. You know, I mean, all of those guys are extraordinary, awesome dudes. And I have nothing bad to say about them. They're, you know, they've worked hard since day one. Since day one, they've worked hard and they've never backpedaled, you know, and that's what's cool. I respect and admire them for all of their hard work.
So November 12th is going to be the date. And of course, there will be more event information coming out soon. You can visit alliance-wrestling.com and we'll be posting event info and how to get tickets and all that stuff. Of course, you could follow SoCal Crazy on, I know you're on Instagram. Are you also on Twitter?
I am on Twitter, but I don't really use Twitter that much. I use more Instagram. It's just I'm older now. My vision my mentality to keep a sentence is not that great anymore. So I do a lot of pictures.
The pictures and videos work. And I don't know, maybe I think Instagram is more of a hipper place to be than Twitter. Anyways, a lot of toxicity on Twitter, but you can follow SoCal Crazy. It's SC Crazy. SCCRAZY, and that's on Instagram. Make sure you guys give him a follow. I saw a comment that just didn't fit. So I do appreciate your time. You know, and again, we're hoping that you have a huge turnout on November 12th. And I'll talk to you offline later because I would like to again make a contribution to this event. And yeah, man, what a great conversation. That this is the epitome of why I love doing these interviews, because I've known you for 20 years, but I don't think we've ever had this much time to talk and have this much, you know, good wrestling conversation. So
yeah, that's the funny thing is like you make a lot of good friends in wrestling, and it's almost like you forget that you have a job to do because you're so like you get along so great and you talk about non-wrestling stuff that when it comes time to actually do your wrestling job, you're like, oh, that's right.
My wife, who you know well, Michelle, she said, say hi to SoCal Crazy. And I said, yeah, absolutely. And you know, for years, I thought my wife was the coolest chick in the whole world because she'd go with me to all these wrestling shows. And that was when she was my girlfriend. Like, we'd go to all these wrestling shows. And I asked her one time, because she's like, I'm not going anymore. And I go, why not? She goes, none of my friends are there anymore. I'm done. I'm tired of it. And I go, friend, what are you talking about? And she goes, I never went for the wrestling. I went to hang out with the guys after the show. Like, you know, you develop these relationships and yeah. guys like you and guys like, you know, who else did she really like? Mikey O'Shea was one of her favorites too. So you have these friendships with these people. Then when they're gone, it's like, well, I don't really care anymore.
Yeah. So, yeah.
real quick. Trevor says, and I agree with him. I'm going to echo the sentiment. SoCal Crazy is inspirational. I can't wait to see him back in the ring next year. And I think that's where we all would like to see you. We know that's where you belong. And we're going to be championing you all along the way. So, again, I really do appreciate your time. SoCal, you're the best, man. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for having me. And always my pleasure. Believe me, my pleasure. I'm glad you guys are doing great. Everybody's doing good. I'm doing good. So, yeah, let's just recover and hopefully get back next year and pick up where we left off.
That's the guy right there, PMA all day. All right, guys. Well, thanks for tuning into this sessions with J-Cal. We'll be back here tomorrow on Tuesday for the pre-party. And until next time, we will see you at the matches. Have a good night now. Thanks for joining the stream. This has been a presentation of alliance-wrestling.com. We genuinely appreciate your support. Would you consider subscribing so you'll never miss a future episode? I'd also like to remind you, we do a live stream every Tuesday at 5 p.m. for NWA Power. You can find us on social media at The Alliance Blog. And until next time, we are The Alliance.